B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walt Dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Alright,
okay, fellas, just what we thought it was going to be. Mental and physical toughness. That's the way to stick in there and grind it out now. It's never easy here. It's the way to stick in here and grind it out. But look, we got to learn some lessons here. Just overall, just a little bit better execution. But we had some in some critical situations. Got a couple big plays there on defense. Good job, fellas. Block punt there. Now step up on that, JC. Alright. Good team win, okay? Good. All three groups contributed. All right, we've got to do a good job of continuing to play complimentary football. All right, go on the road again down there to Washington this week, okay? Congrats, man. Congrats.
That's just what we thought it would be, wasn't it? Let's keep fighting. Let's keep believing. Let's keep leaning on one another. And I tell you what, we're going to have a lot more games like we did today than what the first three were. A quarter of the way done. Let's keep fighting. Bring it in here. How do we feel about being 4-0, though, fellas?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. That is Slater further insulting the Jets by actually saying, how do we feel?
I thought that he was going to be a little more excited after scoring his first touchdown ever.
Very disappointed. How do we feel about a special teams touchdown?
That's, you know what? That's the Slater modesty. That's what it is right there.
Yeah, he doesn't want to take too much of the credit.
No.
First touchdown in a dozen years, and that's all he has to say?
Yeah, you know, as I said, man. He wants to put the focus elsewhere. He didn't want to sound too excited, even though he went home and hugged that football for a while.
He went home and softly weeped into the football.
He slept with it, you know. Oh, I love you so much.
So that was a... That is a legit Bills defense. Fortunately for the Patriots, they don't have to play them on the road again.
Yeah, they look really, really good. I mean, really good.
And fortunately for the Patriots, Josh Allen is their quarterback. So,
well, we don't know. I mean, the guy got hurt pretty bad.
Maybe not for the short term.
Well, he was for enough of that game.
Yeah.
To make that. That was not a good pick. That was not a good pick.
There is something that is freaking me out. Have you seen this story that is all over TV? I think it happened 2 days ago, and because I read about it yesterday. There's this woman who picked up a Uber driver, and she picked up somebody at the airport. However, it wasn't on the Uber app. This woman comes up to her window and like knocks on her door. She just dropped somebody off in that special Uber area that they have or rideshare, and asked this woman if she could drive her to her home, and I forget wherever it was. And the woman said that she didn't have the app and she really needed to get home. And this woman was like, okay, fine. Gets her in the back of the car. They go through, I believe it was the O'Neill Tunnel. And in the middle of the tunnel in traffic, the woman starts flipping out and starts saying, you're taking me the wrong way. Opens up the door and jumps out of the car and gets hit by the car behind them.
No, hit and died?
No, she's alive.
That's what the massive traffic. There was a massive traffic jam on 93 South entering that tunnel because of a bad car accident. And I guess this kind of connects the piece. This is what happened to create that massive traffic jam.
She just flipped out and jumped out of the car while it was moving. And the woman, she's all over the news right now, the driver. And she's shaken up. Like, she's completely, like, freaked out by the entire incident because, I mean, why would you not? She said she looked in her rearview mirror after she heard the door open, and she saw her passenger rolling on the ground and then getting hit. And how
that's how you can't have those tunnels. Those tunnels are bad news.
Well, I think I don't think it was a tunnel thing.
If it was the tunnel thing or not. Yeah. I don't know if she was claustrophobic or not.
It just happened in a tunnel. It just so happened. I'm banking on that. That's the tunnel.
But that's the one thing that I've always thought about. Like, if you are like a driver of some sort, I mean, you know, you don't really know the people who are in your car, and you don't kind of know. You don't have like a background check on everybody who ends up riding in the bike. If you're a cab driver, or even like, you know, anyone like a ride share, and I wonder how often there's somebody, I mean, not obviously that's an extreme, but that you immediately feel, all right, this isn't right. Something is off here, and maybe I need to end this quickly. Like, I wonder if there's ever been somebody who's had to stop a ride because someone has been so erratic.
Oh, sure.
That you just had to just, like, get this person the hell out of my car.
Oh, that happens all the time.
Now, and I don't even mean, like, in a rude way, but just in an unsettling type of way.
Right, yeah. That happens. I'm sure it happens all the time. Mostly probably in tunnels. I mean, you get there in that tunnel, you don't know what's coming up. And then that accident, and then how long was it to get into the tunnel?
I don't know how long it was backed up.
If
it was for a while.
Because if there's an accident in the tunnel, this is a question my son and I had a conversation about. How do they get the ambulance into the tunnel?
I think there is an emergency lane still in the tunnel.
I don't think there's any.
I've seen it where people just have to start working together and moving each other to the side.
Batcave maneuver where there's a secret entrance that like lifts up for the ambulance to come in.
No, because I don't think there's an emergency lane. There's not going to the airport. Yeah, there's not.
Yeah, I believe it's just everyone's got to work together and do whatever they can to move out of the way.
Send someone from MGH and it takes forever.
So it basically would probably take like half an hour.
Yes.
To get to the people.
Mass General's the closest hospital there.
No, but to get to the people even in the tunnel.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if a hospital any further away, it would take three times as long.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd probably go to Tufts, I would think, if you're there. Because they've got, as a matter of fact, this woman who was hit in the tunnel, she went to Tufts. I mean, imagine being behind that car and being the person who hit this woman who jumped out of the car.
You got enough to worry about in that tunnel. You're sitting there in that tunnel, you're just trying to make it through. Lady rolls in front of your car. Now you're like, oh, I got to sit here in the tunnel.
Yeah, tunnels are a little more unsettling than bridges. Neither one of them really bother me that much unless I turn my brain on.
Bridges.
And if you do, if you like really turn your brain on, you think about it too much, you can get in your head. Especially like there's a tunnel that you have to drive through. Nick was just out there. That's out in Zion. And it's carved in the center. Not the center, on the side of a mountain.
All right, so you're already in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're in the middle of nowhere. It's rock. Rock as far as the eye can see.
It's rock, and you are already at an elevation that's probably higher than Mount Mansfield. Like, I mean, you are way up there.
How high is Mount Mansfield?
I think it's 3,000. Okay. 3,000 feet or so. I mean, it's like one of the biggest, like, mountains to ski on, like in Vermont. I mean, it's one of the big, I think it might be the highest point in New England, maybe, or not Mount Mansfield. What is the other one, the famous one up in Vermont?
All right.
But either way, it's really high, Killington or whatever. But you're in the side of that. And what they did was they blasted a hole in the side of that mountain, and there is a stretch of time where it's complete darkness, where you're inside it, where you can't see the other end, you can't see the side behind you, and every once in a while they've blasted a hole in the side of it so it just lends some light in, but there's times where you're sitting there in like total darkness with your lights on in the middle of the day in the side of a mountain, knowing that these rocks have avalanches all the time. I mean, these rocks could essentially fall. I mean, over like, you know, generations and generations, these mountain formations are because the rock continues to fall.
Well, that's a place I'm not going.
Oh, it's unsettling.
Hell no.
I'm not going there.
Nick, hell no. Did you ride in that road? Yeah, it's unsettling.
Of course it's unsettling because we're not supposed to be there. The human beings aren't supposed to be there. And can you imagine getting stuck in that thing?
Well, we're also not supposed to be in high rises. I mean, that's like completely strange, too.
No, that part of the country we're not supposed to be in. That's like when they were panning for gold and they got stuck and everyone died. That's like the area of the country. Yeah, that is no bueno. Because if you get stuck in that, what are you going to do? I take your cell phone doesn't work. So, I mean, you're in the middle of a mountain.
Tens of miles from anywhere.
They have rangers who, like, have to check it on a regular basis. Matter of fact, the tunnel is so long, I think there's someone at each end of the tunnel. I believe, like a checkpoint person.
Okay.
Because it's... Because maybe it's because it's happened so much where people end up getting stuck, or if there's a car accident, my God.
Or they freak out.
I mean, there is the flip-out factor. But you have to turn your lights on as soon as you go in. You got to keep them on the entire way because it is pitch black.
Now, do you know this is coming, or does it kind of just sneak up on you?
If you're driving for the first time, you don't know it's coming.
Oh, that's good.
Perfect.
Yeah, and it's
just what I want.
And the thing is, too, is it's kind of like a movie where the tension keeps building, like a great horror movie, because the whole time leading up to that tunnel, you're on the edge of this winding, like, switchback road on the side of a mountain. So you're already, like, right on the edge.
Okay,
That's about 30 minutes of that, and then you get to the tunnel.
And then, is there a part of you that when you get to the tunnel is like, no.
No, you know what? To be honest, the tunnel for a moment is almost like a breath of fresh air because you know that you're not gonna fly off the side because for 30 minutes you're going, oh, please don't. Oh, God, please don't slide off. And then you finally get this tunnel, but then you realize I can't see the end of this tunnel, and it's pitch black.
Okay, the road to Hana is something in Hawaii, and it has one of those things. It's a constant switchback thing right off a sheer cliff. Mm-hmm. And I did that, and I was scared the entire time I was there. So you do that, and then you enter the tunnel with no lights on the side of a mountain?
Yeah. It's
I'm not going within 50 miles of that place.
It's pretty terrifying.
And then you can't see the other side. You have no idea how long the tunnel is.
Yeah. And you don't, if you've ever ridden it for the first time, you don't know how long it's going to go. And it goes on for a long,
not a chance,
long time. And you just, it's one of those things where I just turn on the music and I don't think.
That's impossible.
Straightforward. Yeah, I mean, you just have to play a mind game with yourself.
Well, you got a Jedi mind trick because that's impossible for me.
Well, you've had to drive over that mile, whatever that bridge is.
Seven-mile bridge.
And that, you have to turn your brain off to do that.
I have to keep making deals with myself.
I see what you mean. Like you know, give me an example.
Once I get here, then I can see the over to there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this bridge has been around forever, so they obviously, it's populated on both ends. Yeah. They could get me out of here if I want to get out of here.
See, that's almost like what I'm doing. I have to put on a song that I recognize, that I know really well, that I can kind of just, like, do the words to as I'm driving, so I'm concentrating more on the song than I am on S, if I, like, turned slightly this way, I'm flying off the side of this bridge and I'm dead.
Yeah, that's, the tunnels are worse than the bridges. Or you can go down the Outer Banks and hit both, where it's like 45 miles of tunnel and then bridge and then tunnel and then bridge. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Steak and eggs.
Hey, Mark, what's up?
You guys know I work in the transportation business, and it's been quite a few times where I've actually had to pull over to the side of the road and throw people out of my van.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, arguing in the van, just being annoying and, you know, busting my balls. Just the other day I had a person that was 10 minutes late for it due to Boston traffic, and the person got in my van and said, "You're effing late by 10 effing minutes, you no good mother effer." I was like, okay, you know what? Now you have no ride. Get the F out.
I'm sure it happened all the time. All right. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
I had a would you rather for Fred. Would you rather be stuck in the tunnel with Baker Mayfield or do the Outer Banks tunnel with Jim Gray?
Oh, boy. I would rather be stuck in a tunnel with Baker Mayfield.
But I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom.
Yeah, he does.
Stedman knows Tom.
Yeah, he does.
Oprah knows my wife.
Nobody knows you.
We're all friends. So why not have a dinner? Yeah. So that's what that was.
We're not going to be with him. All right, Rich, what happened last evening?
All right, well, let's get to the Tom Brady interview with your friend. And
I know Tom. Oprah knows Tom.
Where he talks,
Stedman
spills
knows
the beans, but they do end up talking about this whole situation with, what's his name? Jeez, I don't even have, hang on, you're thinking of my notes in front of me. Who's the guy who hit, what's his name in the head? Josh Allen.
Oh, it's Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson. Yeah, no. Jonathan Jones. Jeez, brain fart this morning.
Damn.
Yes, Jonathan Jones. We get to his opinion on that hit as a quarterback. And also, Sam Kennedy picking a nice time to make a few announcements yesterday.
All right, we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Recapping what you missed, it's Tutcher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
It was the hit that launched 1,000 takes.
Allen steps. Allen trying to run. Oh, he got clobbered.
They call it a helmet-to-helmet hit on Jonathan Jones. It's a good call by the officials.
And Allen is down.
Well, he may be out cold as he got hit right on the jaw by Jonathan Jones.
It was the hit that sent Josh Allen into concussion protocol, as well as the hit that Bills coach Sean McDermott proclaimed had no place in this game. But most importantly, it was a hit that, according to an NFL spokesman, will not lead to a suspension. The league believed that the hit did not rise to the level of missing game time. However, they have not yet ruled out a potential fine possibly coming down the pipe. And yesterday, our friend Jim Gray, who is friends with a lot of people, he asked Tom Brady, Oprah, as a quarterback. He's not friends with Oprah. He's actually friends with Tom, who's friends with Oprah. That's right. So nobody really likes him other than Tom Brady. Well, he asked him as a quarterback, Tom Brady, what he thought of the hit.
You see a quarterback like Josh Allen take a hit, it reminded you of yourself, of one that you took in Buffalo many years ago, and you repeated what Coach Belichick said to you after that hit. If you want to have a long time in this league and play games, don't do that anymore. What went through you when you saw Allen go down yesterday on that hit by Jonathan Jones?
Yeah, it was, you know, a hard hit, and, you know, Josh was trying to get the first down, and, you know, he trying to put his shoulder down, and he came up, and we had defenders there, and it was a big collision. So I know Coach Belichick said that he wouldn't coach it any differently. And again, that doesn't, you know, you hate to see people get injured and concussions. I'm happy he didn't blow his ACL out. That's, you know, that would be a tough injury too. So, you know, anytime you run and you got the ball in your hands from a quarterback standpoint, what I learned is, you know, you got to protect yourself. There's things that are happening. And again, a lot of the rules have changed over the years, but I know that if I throw it, you know, I have protection. I know that if I slide, I have protection. I know that if I don't do either of those things, I lose my protection. And I think, you know, you have to understand that as a player.
We talked to Merriweather yesterday, Fred, and he was just reiterating how you see a quarterback run like that and you just lick your chops.
Right.
Like, if you see a dude that's not going to slide, he's not protecting himself. And Josh Allen, even worse, like, he led with his helmet. Like, he went forward and lowered his head. I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, you're probably not. It's just what happens when you're only in the league for a year or two.
Well,
you haven't quite figured it out yet.
I'm incapable of throwing the ball, so this is how I'm going to have to play.
And what Merriweather told us was if he was Jones, he wouldn't have tried to not hit Allen in the head. He would have tried to knock his head clean off.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, Merriweather was, I recall that happening a couple of
times. Yes, he told us. He said that because, you know, we were talking about hits like that and the hits to the head, and he said, you know, the clamp down on not being able to do that anymore when they changed it, he said, ended his career. And, you know, obviously, I think we all believe that it's better, you know, it's better for everyone who plays that they got rid of that.
Right.
But he said, our entire lives, we are taught this is the way you hit. And it's basically the dirty hit that they tell you not to do anymore. And while he's in the middle of playing, they change everything. And he said, it immediately almost ended my career. Like, yeah, I couldn't do the thing that my entire life they taught me to do. And to just switch on a dime and to all of a sudden change what you've always been doing, he said, is super difficult.
Yeah, he was coached. He said, the way we were all coached in my generation, if you take out the head, the body will follow.
Yeah, cut the head off the snake and the body dies or something like that.
That's not fun if you're making the tackle either. I mean, it goes both ways.
Yes, that's true.
No, absolutely. Well, one thing that's also been frustrating, as it is perplexing, is the downward trending in Stephen Gostkowski's kicking game. Brady was asked about that as well.
Our kicking game is very, very solid.
Tom, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you talk about your kicking game, and the punter's been terrific, and the special teams blocking the punt, but Stephen Gostkowski is really struggling. Are you concerned about him and what's gone on with him so far this season, missing extra points?
Well, Stephen Gostkowski's an all-pro in this league, and he's, you know, I always count on him to deliver. I mean, it doesn't always go our way. You know, he's working through some things. We're working through some things on offense. But I'd say our kicking game in general, the punt team, the kickoff team, punt return team, all those phases, we got a block punt for a touchdown yesterday. So those phases have been real positives for us.
Keep Jake Bailey's name out of your mouth. He's the muff maker, all right? He's a magic man.
Not exactly a huge endorsement of Gostkowski right there.
I mean, I don't know really what you can say.
You can't spin it positively.
Yeah.
I know.
He's been awful.
I know. But it's just that, you know, you just start saying how other aspects of special teams have been good. I mean, obviously,
No, he's been good. You can't say that.
No, Belichick even didn't, you know, rule out bringing someone else in. So, we'll see.
I think it's time.
I wonder if it's him. I know there's the whole thing that in the preseason we saw Jake Bailey, who's now holding holding the ball, and he had laces in instead of out, or laces out instead of in. And I'm wondering whether or not there's something weird going on there as well, because up to this point he's been pretty much nails, and it's weird. Four missed, extra points in four games. That is just to do that out of nowhere is strange. So who the hell knows? And as I said, everyone sucks in this league. So who are you going to get? Like, it's not, you can just like get rid of the guy and bring somebody else in. Yeah. Everybody sucks.
Yeah. It's amazing how hard it is to find 30 guys that can kick field goals.
Well, as bad as the offense looked on Sunday, at least the Patriots knew who their quarterback will be this week. Unlike the upcoming Washington Redskins, Coach Jay Gruden told the media yesterday, he might not know until Friday whether it's going to be Dwayne Haskins, Case Keenum, or Colt McCoy under center in Sunday's game against the Patriots. Take it away, Jay.
Do you know what the plan is for this week at quarterback?
Right now I'm going to continue to evaluate Case's progress with his foot, obviously Dwayne, and Colt with his leg. We come back Wednesday morning. We'll have a practice, and we'll see where they're at.
He said he might not know until Friday.
Honest to God, this is the Miami Dolphins theory. If you're going to start someone, it really should be Haskins.
Yes. There's no doubt about it. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to win anything.
Yeah. I mean, and Washington may give Miami a run for their money here. That's how bad they've been. So, I mean, they got blown out 24-3 by a Giants team that really isn't that good.
No, they're terrible.
And so if you're in that situation, you just spent a top 15 pick on this guy. See if he can do it.
Yeah.
And the sooner you figure that out, the better.
See, yep. I think that Gruden's the first coach to get fired this year. I think he gets fired in season. I think it's within the next couple of weeks, because they're not going to win this game against the Patriots. I haven't seen the rest of their schedule, but I mean, who are they better than? In the entire league, who are they better than?
Not many.
So Case Keenum got the start versus New York, but he was awful. He completed 6 of 11 passes for 37 yards, tossed interception. Haskins DOA in his NFL debut. He was 9 of 17 for 107 yards and 3 interceptions.
Yep.
So maybe since both of those guys were awful, it might be time for awful number 3, Colt McCoy, who hasn't played since December 3rd. What do you got?
The game after the Patriots, the Redskins are in Miami. So we'll find out how bad they really are.
Battle for number one. It's the battle for number one.
That's kind of a must-see, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Don't you have to watch that game?
Yes, because you do.
It's two teams at that point. I mean, I don't. We know that Miami is tanking.
Oh, man.
And you'd have to think by that point, any rational organization like the, you know.
Both
like,
teams are going to be 0-5. Oh, yeah.
Oh, but you got to watch that.
Yes,
like, that's
you
not,
do.
That's not like a regular, oh, these two teams suck, so why would you waste your time? That is like who sucks the most and who wants to suck the most. Because I got to think the Redskins would be like, we want to get the best pick in the draft. We're going to do that. I mean, it's going to be like teams intentionally like, throwing interceptions. I mean, just what could you possibly do to make it like, you know, you're going to try to completely hijack the game yourself. I don't know.
The other thing is, if you look at the standings, I think there are 6 or 7 winless teams now. Or
yeah.
Now 6, because Pittsburgh finally picked up their first win. But Cincinnati's god awful. If you watched them last night,
yeah.
Miami's really bad. Denver's been horrible. They're 0-4. Redskins, I mean, Arizona, I think, will get better. They're winless. But Arizona has shown the ability to actually move the football. But
and they have a quarterback they believe in, too. Like, that's the other thing.
But there are 4 or 5 teams that are really in the running for that overall number one pick that are really bad. I mean, Cincinnati is awful.
Well, they made what's-his-face from the Steelers look like...
He looked amazing like young, last night.
Rudolph was like 17 of 18 in the first half?
Yeah. Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph!
You're watching
17
like,
of 18!
Who are these world beaters?
Oh, my God.
And then you realize, oh, yeah, they're playing the Bengals.
All right, Rich, what else is coming up?
Let's get to a very tone-deaf press conference by Mr. Sam Kennedy, the president of the Red Sox, yesterday.
All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Toucher. I can't believe he did that.
Rich.
Didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, after an underwhelming season where his team didn't make the playoffs and an upcoming offseason where the owners have pledged to cut salaries and potentially lose star players like J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts, President of the Red Sox, Sam Kennedy, had this timely announcement to make.
We've taken a pretty consistent approach to ticket pricing the last 4 or 5 years, low single-digit sort of cost of living, inflationary increases. We haven't made a decision this year for 2020, but I would anticipate another modest increase.
Ah, yeah. Cool, man.
It's ridiculous. I mean, their ticket prices are ridiculous. 81 home games, and it's going to cost me $300 to take my family to a game?
That's just for seats.
I just love that.
You're not counting that's parking just, and beer and souvenirs and whatever else.
No, and it's, so you know what you don't do? You don't go. Yeah. I mean, I went to one game this year. Because it's not worth it.
We're going to get rid of some of our superstars. We're going to cut the payroll. I mean, that's like saying we're going to take the two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce and cheese out of the Big Mac, and now we're going to charge you double for it.
$300.
Like, I mean, the product's going to be worse, but we're going to raise the price.
And by the way, like, you have to sit. You can only sit in, like, what is it, probably, like, two-thirds of the stadium or two-thirds of the stadium and be able to see anything. So that eliminates, if you want to go to a game and actually watch it, that eliminates a good section of the park, and then everything is well overpriced. To go to a baseball game, do you know how expensive that is? Go anywhere else. I don't know about Yankee Stadium. They outpriced everyone, but I've been to a bunch of stadiums. You should be able to walk up and buy a ticket.
That's different because that's supply and demand. There's just not enough seats. There's more people want to go
fantastic,
there.
Fantastic.
That's different.
But all right. Well, you know what I was? I was at a playoff game 2 years ago where they didn't sell the thing out. So supply and demand, you're outpricing people. That is outpricing me. To me, it's not. To me, I'd rather go somewhere else and watch a game. I'd rather go to another city and make a weekend out of it.
A lot of Red Sox fans do.
I mean, it's
Baltimore, New York, whatever. They go down the East Coast. They do it there.
Just the main thing is that if you just won a championship like they did last year and they raised prices too, and you're like, when they announced that, you're like, okay, I understand.
Well,
they won. The product's a great product. It stinks, but I get it. When you're going to cut the payroll and potentially get rid of two of your biggest stars this offseason and you're still raising the price, that is tone death.
81 games and you won $300 to take a family. 81 games. You want that every time. What's the point in going? And like, even if you're like, what, your kids are like obsessed with the Red Sox, then what, you're going to go to more than one game? It's ridiculous. It outpriced me. I'm not taking my family to a game. I mean, they don't care enough. It's not worth it. It's not like something where, you know, it's not like they're chomping at the bit to go, but it would be nice to go, oh, it's a nice Sunday afternoon. Let's go to a baseball game and not have to, you know, spend as much as it would be to fly to Philadelphia.
But listen, that whole thing about cutting over $30 million in salary, making it nearly impossible to keep Mookie Betts, like both the owners said, hey, man, that wasn't written in stone.
John made it clear that there is a goal to try and get under the CBT in 2020. But he also said, and Tom followed up and clarified, that that is a goal but not a mandate. So we, in fact, spent some time over the weekend talking as a group with the baseball ops transition team about different scenarios where you could see the possibility if there are strategic decisions that would cause us to go over, that could be a possibility. We could be under. There are lots of decisions, as you guys know, facing the Red Sox this offseason.
Yeah, it's simply a suggestion to cut the budget, a very loud, forceful suggestion. Much like if you don't do it, Sam, they will make a suggestion for you to find a new job.
Yeah, and just like you wasted away all that money on those large contracts, except for Price, that haven't panned out.
And by the way, and this was brought up by the media over the weekend. Oh, that's
nice. Magic. That's
really I didn't touch anything.
Neither Sale nor Price met the media in the last 2 weeks of the season to discuss this is what we're doing. This is the off season. This is, you know, what we're looking forward to. I'll be ready to go. None of that, which does not bode well, A, for their feelings about Boston, but also B, for their availability for next season.
Why is there no audio of JD Martinez? Like after Sunday's game.
Your buddy.
He gave like a bunch of quotes to Pete Abraham, I believe. No.
Yeah, you said that the team is aware that there's a
that they probably can't sign Mookie Betts.
That they can't sign both of them.
Well,
Mookie Betts might be gone.
And he said, you know, I have no, because someone said, you know, what would it be like going to your fourth team in 5 years? He's like, I don't mind it. I don't mind moving around. I have no problem with that. But like, that's kind of a big story, isn't it? Like, wouldn't you think everyone would be talking to JD Martinez, and there's like no audio of that anywhere?
One of the best middle order hitters in the American League, if not the majors, at this point.
Big friend of yours. He met the wall cat.
I saw that. Thank you very much.
Dreams come true.
Yeah.
It's funny too, when I brought it up to him, I was like, hey, this is a guy who's a big fan of yours. He looked at your face. Went,
Did you tell him the gap's no longer there?
No, of course not.
Uh-huh.
He actually let out a sound that I did not expect to come out of JD Martinez.
Yeah, he saw the immensity, the enormousness of the head.
That's the guy who's waiting for him in his driveway. That guy.
You're like De Niro in The Fan.
That's right.
Well, how about that Mookie, huh, Sam Kennedy? What are you going to do with that?
We absolutely love Mookie Betts as a player, as a person, gotten to know his family. You hope that he's a guy that is here for the long term. Tom Werner made it clear that we've engaged with some frequency with his representatives in years past. We met with them recently. He's got very, very, very smart and shrewd representation. And so we'll continue to talk and see where we go. But Mookie is just an incredible, you know, reigning MVP has been an incredible member of the Red Sox.
I think they're going to sign him. I think that in the next couple of days, there's already articles being written about it would be unforgivable to have him walk after everything. I think that
if
they realize the PR backlash is going to be so extreme that you just got to bite the bullet and pay the guy.
Yeah, you would agree. Major League player that is homegrown.
Yeah, JD Martinez is gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
Because that's his decision. Why would you stay?
If you sign Betts, you have Betts, Bogarts, and Devers together at the top of your order for at least 4 years.
Yeah.
That, I mean, regardless of what you have after that, and it won't be much considering what they want to do with the payroll, that's still a pretty good start. Right. To all of this. And we were talking about this yesterday, Fred. Betts is a 30-30 guy who is a gold glove fielder.
Right.
How many of those guys are in the majors?
No, he's a top five player in the major leagues.
I mean, Trout is one, but that's perennial. And maybe Yelich, and that's it.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's top five. There's no question. All right, Rich, what's going to be on the way?
We got the Bruins finally solidifying their roster. On top of that, David Backus talks about what his role is going to be on this team.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
State law.
Do you like to watch?
The answer is simple.
Follow the Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, as we count down the days to opening night and the Bruins' four road games to start things off, that is intense, but they're finally solidifying their roster. And yesterday they sent Anders Bjork, Trent Frederick, Cameron Hughes, and the man who can score bouncing pucks off his face, Jack Studnicka, all to Providence yesterday. But one guy who is on the final roster is David Backes, and he knows his role is going to be a little different this year.
To forecast that sort of thing, I think it's maybe that's been an issue of mine in the past, of trying to worry about that end result, and I think worry about Dallas on Thursday and being a positive contributor, hopefully get on the score sheet, but do that every single game and let somebody with a nice calculator add them all up at the end of the day. That's got to be my more micro type of focus, and I think if I do that, the results will come and the number will be much more pleasing at the end.
It'd be nice to see a David Backes renaissance this year. That would be a nice little surprise. Don't count on it, but
necessary, I think.
That would be a cool little twist if they were able to figure that out. But the NHL Network yesterday revealed their top 50 players in the NHL. One player on the Bruins was in the top 10. Who is that player?
Marchand.
Number 7, Brad Marchand comes in. Number 1, who do they think was the number 1 most valuable player in the NHL? Connor McDavid is number 1, Fred. Nikita Kucherov, 2nd. Sidney Crosby still hanging in there. He's at number 3. Nathan MacKinnon at 4. Patrick Kane at 5. Ovechkin at 6. How about Marchand 1 spot behind Alex Ovechkin? And then they go to the top 50 players. There is, who's the second highest ranked Bruin?
Bergeron,
he is at number 14. Other Bruins on the list?
Pastrnak and Rask.
Pastrnak is at number 25, you are correct. And Tuukka Rask comes in at number 44. So, very good. However, there was a fan voting top 10, who they believe, indeed, is the top 10.
I know number 1, it's Jagr.
All the ladies love Jagr. No, in the fan voting, Patrice Bergeron comes in at number 10. Jagr. Did you see the car? I posted a picture.
Yes, I did.
There is a dude. I was on 93 South, and there was a bright yellow Lamborghini that had a giant Bruins logo on the side of it. And I'm like, that's either Jagr's old car that he sold to someone or Pasternak's new car.
It's got to be Pasternak because Jagr would be like, Jagr don't have a tire.
I mean, I wonder who drives that.
I don't. But you're buying like $100,000 and then some car. You get it painted gold and then you put a Bruins logo on it.
Would that be a Marchand thing? Do you think Marchand would actually drive
Hell
one of those?
No. With the Bruins logo? So? No way.
No,
Pastrnak would.
Yeah. All right. Pasta totally would. Now back in the day when Marchand was a single
topless and fancy free. Yeah.
Maybe then. Right. But that doesn't seem even like a Canadian thing to do. That seems almost like a European thing to do.
All
like
right.
A super flashy car like that, like a Jagr type thing.
Yeah, but a Lamborghini.
Canadians are a little more humble, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like a Lamborghini is like kind of corny anyway, but then you add that paint job and that thing.
I mean, that thing was just the best.
Like a Lamborghini in like a residential area. I'm just letting you know, this thing could go fast if there wasn't traffic.
And I had to drive it to the city.
Yeah, bumper-to-bumper traffic on 93, but just know that this thing can go 0 to 60 in 3.5.
The Bruins Avengers are chiming in. They say it's a younger dude, and it's not one of the players in the Bruins. I'm like, well, all right, well, that's probably right.
So, I wonder, because the Bruins Avengers are not poor.
No, there's a couple guys with good gigs. And there's the one dude who had the customized Bruins, Harley thing, which was impressive. Not as impressive as the ink all over his body that everything was Bruins. But I mean, to spend that much, what does a Lamborghini cost anyway right now? Like, because $120,000. Yeah, so over $100,000, and then it's, you know, you just,
and then you take away like 60% of the value by doing that to it. Like, oh, I'm looking, I'm interested in a Lamborghini. Oh, you want the big gold one with the Bruins logo on it? No. I don't.
Probably not.
Oh, man. Lamborghinis are like 160, you know, 200.
Okay.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and imagine them decked out like that. Yeah, I saw a Lamborghini the other day going about 5 miles an hour in Newton Center.
It's kind of wasted around here, isn't it?
Yeah. What are you going to do with it?
Say I've got a Lamborghini.
Pretend you know, that you're a Cannonball Run?
You're going to put a Bruins logo on it.
Yeah, and just go, I really like this team.
Well, Patrice Bergeron likes this team, and he's excited for opening night.
Started the year with us, so now we can kind of concentrate on what's in front of us and really keep working on that system and making sure everyone kind of is on the same page. And like you said, you know, we have something to look forward to on Thursday.
We were talking about this yesterday, just a couple minutes ago, actually. The Bruins media day is today, and they're gonna, you know, you guys are gonna talk to a bunch of different players, and it seems like this year they're really doing everything they can to make everything go smoothly. And I think it's because a couple of years ago they felt bad about the one time, Fred, you and I were set up in the bathroom over at Warrior Ice Arena.
It was where they put like the 3-year-old teams,
the Pee Wee leagues, right? The Pee Wee league teams that play, you know, like when the Bruins aren't in town.
Yeah,
and we sat in the bathroom, and I think we had 4 or 5 players that were on the slate that we're supposed to talk to. I mean, it was like, you know, the ones that we've become familiar with over the years. You know, Patrice and Chara and Marchand. Right. And I remember that day we got like one player who. No, like it was a new guy.
We got Bolesky, and we didn't even interview him.
Yeah, we got Bolesky, and then they, for some reason, told us that nobody else could talk.
Well, Bergeron got hurt that day.
Yeah, he got hurt. That's right. And the other guys, I don't know why, but we were in a bathroom for like 2.5 hours, and I believe they've felt bad about that ever since, and that's why, like, you know, we've been getting like texts, like, "Hey, man, what can we do to make this go smoothly?" So this should be fun. You guys should you're talk to all the big stars.
I know that we get sit downs, which is all that matters.
Yep, that is all. You're not in the scrum.
Yeah, I saw Tuukka Rask on Friday. I saw Tuukka Rask.
Excellent. How is he looking?
Oh,
he's a dreamboat. Grinch like.
He's a 10 out of 10. I'll tell you what, though.
When he has people tiny legs.
When people see Tuukka Rask, they really like seeing Tuukka Rask. He was sitting at a table with about, like, 20 people.
Oh, everyone wanting, like, to, like, get his autograph and stuff?
No, not wanting to be his friend. So I had to sit at a table, like, where my chair wasn't anywhere near the table and sit there because Rask was holding court.
Ah.
So... my friends were at the table. It's like, why are we doing this? So, yes, that should be exciting, Wallach. Wallach doing both of the media days.
I know, doing double duty.
Yes, sir.
Was not required to come to today, but is doing it anyway. All right, so the idea is DeBrusque, Krug, Backes.
Bergeron.
Marchand. Rask. Oh, you said Rask.
Did you say McAvoy?
McAvoy and Krug.
Okay. What about Chara? Chara's always good.
No, he's not.
No, he was really good last time. I don't think you remember. He was really good.
We had Chara. When we were together and did this last year, we had Chara, and he was very good.
Yeah, he was really good.
Okay. For some reason, I don't remember last
year. You asked him about, if I remember correctly, you asked about coaching his son in youth sports and whether or not he'd go and kindly put a big arm around the coach if he was hard on his kid.
Yeah.
Charles said, no, I'm plenty difficult, hard on my kid. Oh, and you actually got him to talk about his relationship with his dad and whether or not his dad was hard on him because his dad was this gigantic wrestler.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Remember that?
Oh, well, apparently it was a good interview.
It was a good interview.
All right.
Well, think about it this way.
I have to redo who we asked for.
So, and you know when you stand next to Chara, it's like, this dude is huge.
Yes.
Yeah. We were thinking about that yesterday when John and I were talking to Taco Fall, which we'll play the interview later. Chara is 10 inches shorter than Taco Fall.
I told Fred when I got here, you can talk about the fact that he's 7'7", and you tell friends, wow, he's big, but you really don't get the full view
there,
unless you stand right next to him and go, oh, my God.
It's jaw-dropping.
Ooh.
All right. Well, Bruce Cassidy is always a good interview, and the gang talked to him. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.